Unlabeled Leadership is a volunteer service. We appreciate our guests for their stewardship and remarkable stories. We also appreciate listeners like you who back the show with star reviews and contributions.
Gary DePaul with Unlabeled Leadership. Welcome to episode 153, Amanda Obidike on Becoming More Human. Here's a shout out to listeners in Guatemala City, Guatemala, Brandenburg, Germany, in the Czech Republic, in the United States, McLean, Virginia, Clyde, North Carolina, and Norcross, Georgia. With that, let's get started. Amanda is a data scientist, project manager, strategic innovator, community mobilizer, STEM advocate, teacher, global citizen, and mentor, just to name a few things. The U.S. Department of State has also designated her as a Tech Woman Fellow, and she is the founder of STEME, which is capital STEM and the lowercase I, Makers Africa. She's received multiple awards, including Female Executive of the Year, Female Innovator of the Year, Mentor or Coach of the Year, and she received the FDM Every Woman in Technology Award. Forbes Science marked her as the Nigerian changing the culture fabric of young girls to embrace STEM. Clearly, Amanda is a global influencer and someone worth knowing. Part 1, Inspiring Young Girls and Boys. At the end of the 20th century, leadership experts have shifted from talking about or writing about followers serving leaders to you serving others and helping them mature mentally and morally. It's now about positively affecting the lives around you. In Ron Carr's book, The Velocity Mindset, he writes, "Real leadership is about making other people successful beyond their wildest dreams." Amanda shares with us a quotation that aligns with this new thinking about leadership. Here's Amanda to explain.
There is a word that I actually heard from Dr. Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala. She happens today to be the first woman director general of the World Trade Organization, as well as she's not only the first woman to have emerged in that position, but she's an African. I recall 3 years ago when she said on an international stage where she said that success is not going to be built on our accomplishment or measured by our accomplishment, but about the lives that we have impacted. I've actually seen that quote, you know, severally, but it struck differently because recalling and seeing how her life is today in the world, she's someone that when you read her story, she has been consistent. She has been ambitious, but above all, she wasn't doing it for herself. But she was doing it because of the people around her. I actually connected it to the work I do around ensuring that young Africans have opportunities around STEM. When I say STEM, I mean science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. A lot of times people, when we get awards or maybe get grants or get certain kind of visibility, people look at what we have accomplished. But I don't look at just the plaque or the award or the celebration. I look at how many lives we have touched. Because, you know, when you say, for example, you're catering to a number of persons in communities, you get to read their feedback. You get to see how the little effort you have put in place or the little intervention or programs you have designed for these young girls and boys, you see how they have been able to not only integrate all that you have taught them, but they are already using it to drive change into their communities. Still connecting it to what Dr. Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala said, life or success, you know, goes beyond the accomplishments, but about the lives that we have directly or indirectly touched on. It affected me positively because now I don't look at, say, how, you know, people get to celebrate my wins.
Yeah.
But inwardly, I get to see how I can use my wins to inspire young girls. So, you know, for example, I let people know that, yes, you see me excelling in STEM, but here is the catcher and here's the surprising thing. I never had any background in STEM. already that inspires them and say, hey, if Amanda did this, then I definitely can do this. So it has affected me because I'm more selfless. I'm more into about community mobilization, community engagement, helping, empowering youth, young girls and boys, rather than focusing my eyes on the accolades.
I think you've really captured stewardship. What that means, it's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about other people and helping them. Even without awards, recognition, or rewards of any kind, when we can affect the people around us in a positive way, that's really what's important. All the other stuff is nice. It's good to be recognized, but at the same time, it's not what's really important.
Yes, yes, true, Gary, true. Thank you so much.
The other thing that I think of when you described what that quotation is, that much of leadership, like I said, it's not about you or me, it's about other people. A lot of the principles are about other people, believing in them, connecting with them, putting other people first. When you're doing those things, it's not for the achievement of recognition. It's just to help other people be effective and eventually helping them learn how to lead and show leadership. It's empowering other people to also make changes in the world and those they affect.
Exactly. Exactly. It's about taking that step. When Dr. Okonjo-Iweala emerged that position, it was a very big deal to Africa and it was a very big, big deal to Nigeria. But, you know, a lot of people were like, oh, this is the first Black woman to have emerged this. This is the first, not only the first woman, but she's the first African. Everybody was looking at what's, you know, how she got there. But we didn't afford to look at the process. We didn't afford to look at, hey, before this woman became the first director of the World Trade Organization, have we asked ourselves what she was doing in her space, in her circle, how she was able to bring young people along? And that's actually the most hilarious part, because you find out that we're doing amazing. So most times we just focus on that goal. But, you know, looking at that process or looking at those people that we admire, if you look inwardly, you realize that most of them just keep that accolades aside and rather look at the kind of or the number of lives that they were able to reach out to.
Part 2, Overcoming Social and Personal Restraints. People who practice leadership help others develop mentally and morally, or putting it a different way, helping them build character. This becomes a cascading effect. As people help you build character, you in turn want to help other people do the same. Amanda shares a story that illustrates how one person has affected her in a positive way and how she's used what she's learned to help others. Here's Amanda with her story.
Some months ago, you know, even if I have my organization where we are centered on equipping young people with STEM tools, I got this job and the role I serve as a general manager. Now, it's a big deal of leadership for me because it's a setting or is a space that is male dominated. I happen to be the only female one. I happen to be the youngest too. And I happen to be in a locality that don't really appreciate women in leadership. So it was a three stumbling block for me. Before I took on that role, I got the opportunity to speak with the chairman, who is actually, he's very, very invested in oil and gas. And, you know, oil and gas is one of the sector that's, you know, is generating a lot of income for Nigeria. He has a foundation, which, you know, I got this job to be the general manager. And he told me, he laid down these three fears for me. And he said, I would like you to take ownership. When I say ownership, I mean, I give you my blessings. I would like you to get into this job and do it awesome. And I found out that it's not as easy as he would say that. Why I'm giving this story is because when I got into the job, I found out that I got a lot of challenges. I couldn't cope. It got to a time that I was getting so frustrated because, you know, these three things were laid out to me and nobody was helping matters. It got to a time where Because every time when that happens, I get to complain to either him or the HR. For him, he got exhausted because he has encouraged me, for example, to take the lead irrespective of what my gender is or how young I am or in this particular kind of local place. But where my turning point happened was I had to have this inner orientation about leadership. I started looking at leadership differently. Leadership cuts across or it goes beyond what we read on maybe say John Maxwell's books or any kind of books. It's about when you put a value on yourself, you get to see how you automatically attract that value and that respect. So I started doing things differently, not in an autocratic way. I was done giving emotions on the job. I was done trying to coerce. I started to, you know, become more firm in whatever I'm saying. I began to use communication differently. For example, rather than giving instructions with mouths, for example, or saying it, I'd rather do an email. And, you know, once that happens, people get to be on their toes because when it doesn't happen, you can always refer to that email. So why I'm saying this is I started thinking and doing things differently, started taking that responsibility. I quit, you know, complaining and said, okay, I will do this differently just to get this different result. Today, I can proudly say that it has been a very good work culture and I've been able to build where people don't just look at me based on where I am or my status, but they should be able, okay, yeah, and let me also say this, I'm not married. That's also a challenge in Nigeria where people get to respect you because you are, you know, you are married or you are already in your husband's house. Call it very strange, but, you know, this is the reality that, you know, we live in. But amidst all these social restraints, I was able to just talk to myself, use that word that the chairman has given me as a yardstick and as a tool to say, I'm going to do things differently and I'm going to see how to command respect in the process. So what changed? Well, change is, it started from self, actually. I started, when I put a what on myself, you find out that automatically people get to value you differently. I spoke less. I did more of emails. I did more of strategy. When I say strategy, I mean, I left all those donkey jobs or all those little errands. And I said, it's high time I begin to delegate it to people, not because of I'm afraid that they would not do it, but it's something that you should do. You should delegate to them and, you know, still be firm about it, put a strong feet and say, you give them a deadline to achieve this and this. In the process of being firm, I began to understand that they started taking me serious. It made me more productive. It made me get results. It also made me put a watch on myself.
It's so easy, Amanda, to not be successful in that type of situation. You can say, oh, well, it's because I'm young. It's because I'm a female. It's because I'm not married. It's all these things are just, they just make it impossible. Mm-hmm. But with you, it sounds like your turning point was when you valued yourself. And at the same time, it seems like you realized that the only thing holding you back is you. It's not those external things that would make a difference. And I think it's a beautiful story because you illustrate how important it is to value and believe in yourself.
Yes, yes. And it taught me differently because I'm not saying leadership or motivational books not well directed, but if you don't have a better orientation about yourself, it's going to be garbage in, garbage out. Yeah. You know, I've read enough of these books, but implementing it in such a situation may be tough for some people. But I just said, it's time to leave these books. It's time to do things differently. It's time to actually prioritize yourself. When I say prioritize yourself, I mean prioritize my growth, prioritize my worth. Every day I'm asking myself, what value am I bringing into myself that I should be able to give out to my team members? And they would value you because every day you are bringing in something different. You are bringing in innovative ideas and people would begin to respect you because you're not just a manager as a ceremonial person, but you're a manager because you are bringing in results, effective results.
Part 3, encouraging others to lead. Leadership and continuous learning are highly intertwined. In this part, guests have the opportunity to share with you advice on how you can strengthen your leadership capabilities. Again, here's Amanda.
This advice, I'm not just only sharing it to people, but I'm also saying it to myself again. So there's something I learned recently, and I have learned to step back and let people take the lead. A lot of times as leaders, we are so engrossed with what we do. We find ourselves giving that strategy, we find ourselves leading. Yes, we have efficient people, you know, right behind us. But these days, I've learned to like step back and give people a chance. They may make mistakes, but the good thing about it is from that mistake, they will be able to get better. It's about taking a chance on people. Because if, for example, people didn't take a chance on us, we wouldn't be here. There may be no good Gary here, or there may be no good or effective Amanda speaking. So it's about giving that people a chance to, you know, take on the lead, even if they may make mistakes, but they would be able to remember you sometime in the future and say, somebody took a chance on me, somebody believed in me, somebody allowed me to fail and, you know, succeeded again.
It's fantastic advice. With people, especially in corporations where they're managers of people, there's a tendency of wanting to do the work and making sure it's done right because you've worked to this position, you become accomplished because of your past, but that's not the purpose of people in management. It's the art of getting things done through other people. And the more we can give the work to the people around us, the more opportunities they'll have to make mistakes and learn, develop and grow and become more valuable because of that.
True. Like you said, sometimes we do it unconsciously because, you know, we have assumed that position or that authority where everything from the beginning to the end stops. You know, it's just around us or it just revolves around us. But most times I believe that in the process of becoming so much perfect leaders, we fail to integrate empathy. And empathy, for example, is one of the unique skills that we as leaders do need because it's all through that empathy that we will be able to see the different perspective of people and, you know, see the other side of life. So let me say it's normal, but it's about coming out from that bias and seeing how we can be more humans again.
My thanks to Amanda Obidike. If you'd like to learn more about Amanda, go to the show notes. And if you have a question or comment, go to unlabeledleadership.com, click the message icon, and you can leave a message for up to 1 minute. Unlabeled Leadership is an all-volunteer service and does not have sponsors and no longer accepts donations. I'd like to thank you for listening. This is Gary DePaul. Until next time, lead on.